Hi, welcome to True Creeps, where the stories are true and the creeps are real. We'll cover stories from grotesque gore to the possibly plausible paranormal, to horrifying history, to tense and terrible true crime, and everything else that goes bump in the night. We're your hosts, Amanda,
and I'm Lindsay, and we want you to join us while we creep.
We cover mature topics. Listener discretion is advised.
Today, we are going to be talking about the murder of 16-year-old Gabriela Nicole Prats Rosario that happened in Puerto Rico recently. Hey, everybody. Today, we're going to be talking about the tragic murder of Gabriela Nicole Prats Rosario. This happened in Puerto Rico just a few months ago, so it's still a pretty new case. And this case was suggested to us by Sam. As always, thank you for the suggestion. We are recording this episode a few weeks before it comes out because we just typically, depending on our schedule and our lives, it's what we do. So with that in mind, and with this being such a new case, at points it might sound like parts of this were recorded at possibly a different time. That might be because they were, because we wanted to make sure that when the episode was released, it had all of the information as of that time. So typically you can't tell, but just in case you can and you're wondering, like, why is that strange? That's why.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll try to keep up with the case while we're editing, too, sometimes. Mm-hmm. And you may have already heard it before in other ones where you'll hear one of us pop in.
Or where we have like a super podcaster voice, because we're not, it's not necessarily like a dialogue like we normally do. It's one of us recording on our own. And
yeah, alone and trying to stitch it in like weirdos.
But anyways, let's get back into what we're talking about today. We're going to start with some background about Gabriela. So her family and friends called her Layla. She loved animals. She's described as kind and happy, and she planned to study psychology. While we were researching, one of the things we saw was a post that one of her teachers had made about her.
Yeah, it was so sweet.
Yes, yes. The post said, "The desk isn't just wood and metal. It's a space that speaks to what you lost and what we lost. I waited for you on our first day. It hurts." And I was like, oof.
Breaks my heart. Well, teachers, I don't think anyone realizes what a connection they have with their students.
Yeah.
Like now that I have a lot, I mean, I'm not a teacher, sort of, but I have a lot of friends that are.
Yeah.
And, like, they care for their students like their own. And honestly, in America, most of them are willing to die for their students. Like, it's a thing.
It's like you spend all day with a kid every day. If you don't develop some sort of like relationship or rapport with a kid that you're dealing with, like, I feel like that's bizarre if you're dealing with them day in and day out and watching them grow. Like, yeah. And I would imagine it was very painful. And we saw a lot of the posts and videos from her funeral, and you could tell that she was just so incredibly loved. And that, like, the thing that you just heard over and over and over again was like, she just didn't even get a chance. She had so much of her life ahead of her. And, like, there was just so much more that she was going to get to do. And she was just one day before her 17th birthday when she was murdered.
Yeah.
And it's tragic when anyone dies, but especially when a child dies, because it's like they hadn't even started yet.
Yeah, she had a lot to look forward to.
Exactly. So Gabriela was murdered in the early hours of August 11th of this year, 2025, in Ibonito, Puerto Rico. There was a party in the public square in that area to celebrate the end of summer that a lot of people had went to. And so once the party started wrapping up, some of the younger people, like teenagers, I think there may have been people in their early 20s as well, but they kept the celebration going at the Desvío Roberto Colón detour. From what we could see, it looks like it's like an area to the side of the road where like people were hanging out. I think there may have been some shopping centers nearby.
Yeah, I was just in Puerto Rico a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And like you'll be driving and I don't know the specific area. I only went maybe like a quarter of the island.
Mm-hmm.
Like it is bigger than you think it is.
Yeah.
But when we were there, I was surprised at like how many you'll be like driving through almost like jungle,
mm-hmm.
right? Like there's beautiful trees and you see iguanas and all kinds of cool stuff. And then there'll be this little shopping center or like food truck area. They have a lot of cool food truck hangout spots. And there's just a bunch of people hanging out, like having a good time. Or like on the way to the beach, there's these little pop-up bar things with a bunch of people having a good time at night too.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a really cool vibe, like when you're driving around. So when we're describing this, I didn't see pictures of exactly where it was, but I feel like that's what it looked like in my head is like the places that I passed.
Yeah, and I think that makes sense. So Gabriela was there with some other young people. And so the reports that we're seeing vary a bit on how the altercation began. Some say that Gabriela's sister instigated a fight. Some don't mention how the fight started. But it seems like most reports include that Gabriela was trying to defend her sister and was then attacked. She was stabbed all over her body with a total of 8 stab wounds that were unfortunately fatal. Her mother was at the scene And when she tried to save her daughter, people held her back, so she was unable to intervene and stop them.
I can't even imagine.
I know. I know. And so one of Gabriella's friends also tried to protect her, and they were stabbed 3 times. They nearly lost their lung, but they did survive. And when police arrived at 12:15 in the morning to take Gabrielle to the hospital, she had already died.
That whole situation is horrific.
Yes, yes. And I mean, it's in the middle of a party, too. I think that's the other part of it. It's like there's so many people right there.
Yeah, everyone hanging out, and it should be a good time.
Mm-hmm.
But I just can't, like, especially the mother, just seeing it and not being able to stop it, mm-hmm. like, hurts my heart so much.
Absolutely.
So it seems that law enforcement had suspects from the very beginning of the case. And I mean, there's witnesses, so mm-hmm. obviously, right? And the day after Gabriella was murdered, law enforcement seized a Toyota Corolla. So we mentioned it earlier, but August 12th would have been Gabriella's birthday. Her and her family were probably looking forward to it and, like,
yeah,
they probably had celebrations planned or yeah. you know, something. So it's even more heartbreaking.
And like when you're thinking of celebrating someone, a birthday is nothing except like a celebration that of your presence in this world.
Yes. Yes.
And for that to be just so soon after she's murdered, like the way that that would hurt.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. A whole other level.
Mm-hmm.
So her family gathered where she died to honor her on her birthday. And also on her birthday, the home of one of the suspects was searched. Possible evidence was retrieved from the home. Ultimately, what they recovered was a knife and some bloody clothing. Now, sources kind of vary as to whether it was from the home or the Corolla, but either way, they found these two items.
Exactly.
The following day on the 13th, several people were called in for questioning, including a mother and a daughter. The mother's name is Elvia Cabrera Rivera, and the daughter is Antonesca Aviles Cabrera. I hope I'm saying that right. I could not find a good pronunciation. But she was only 17. And going forward, because they both share the Cabrera name, we're going to call Elvia Cabrera and Antonesca Aviles, just so we can tell them apart.
Yeah.
So some sources say that Gabriella and Aviles had been friends, which is insane. When we talk about kids killing other kids, it's just like another horror. I think maybe because I have a kid and I'm like, is he not even allowed to hang out with kids? Like, are kids crazy too? My God.
Well, and it's one thing to think of, like, how kids can be hurt being predators, right? Not that, like, yeah. also children can be this as well. But I mean, what really fucked me up was, like, the mother-daughter aspect of this. Like,
what the fuck? Yeah.
What the fuck? I cannot envision a situation where an unarmed person would be attacked with a fucking knife.
Right.
Ugh.
And there's not really details on to like what exactly happened mm-hmm. as far as like why there was an altercation or
yeah,
any of it. I've seen a bunch of rumors. I don't want to play into the rumors until we know more, but there's no like definite answer to that yet.
Yeah,
like, not that any reason is a reason for this.
No, but no reason is good. But from most of what I saw was an interpersonal issue, not an event causing it.
Exactly. So during her questioning, Cabrera refused to answer any of the questions. And as time went on, so on August 14th, more witnesses were interviewed, but names have not been released. And we're going to talk a little bit more about who it may be in a minute. Funeral services were held for Gabriella, and her burial was on the 15th, so pretty soon after. So before the funeral, Gabriella's mother, Lisandra Rosario, talked about how heartbroken she is about her daughter, how she loves her and she'll love her for all of her life, and just how absolutely devastating this is for her.
Yeah.
It's in Spanish. The translation's a little lost, but it also said something about along the lines of like, she's not ready to see her in this state.
Of course not. Like, I don't think a parent could ever be ready for that.
No.
Nobody wants to see a kid they love lay to rest.
Yeah.
That's just like, if you're younger, you should go after me. That's the rule, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And she had a picture of her. It looks like maybe a birthday or so. There's balloons and like a little tiara thing.
Yeah.
And it's just she looks so young, you know, like she's a baby.
Oh, yeah. And all her photos, she's absolutely stunning. And she's also like so clearly a kid.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You can tell she's a teenager, but like she's a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ugh. And then we have things from her like memorial and stuff, too. And like the photos, it's just heartbreaking.
Yeah.
After her funeral, Gabriella's mother, friends, and hundreds of people marched for justice for Gabriella. It breaks my heart that, like, that's a thing that people have to do. Like, they're mourning, and then they're also like, but we need to keep working on this to keep it out there.
And I will say that it seems like there's like this mix of opinion as to whether law enforcement was taking it seriously or not. On one hand, you see that they were the very next day, they seized a vehicle in connection with it, right? Yeah. They're making arrests, but they haven't made all the arrests yet. And it seems like they're trying to build a case, but it's still like
there's witnesses. There's so many witnesses.
It happened in a crowd of people.
Yeah.
I would be just worried about the people, these people being dangerous more than anything else. It's like, you either did this or you were complicit.
Right. They're willing to stab a kid.
Yeah. Or you're willing to hold a mother back while she tries to save her baby.
Yeah, exactly. And that's multiple people. Like, that's a lot of people to hold a mother back, especially.
Yeah. Yeah.
So as law enforcement continued to call in people for questioning, some of them would wear face coverings when coming and going to conceal their identities.
I think that actually, in this situation, I do think it makes a lot of sense because people were watching to see who was coming and going to get a sense of like who is being questioned. And I think that in some instances, if you were a person who was there and were like, I had nothing to do with this, but I saw it, I would be worried that the other people who did do it, they're out in the world. I'd be worried for my own safety, but I would also worry that people would make assumptions that I had something to do with it when I didn't.
Yeah, both of those reasons for sure. Mm-hmm. And then also some of them could be minors.
Absolutely.
And like news and all of that, putting their face everywhere as like a minor would be really sad, especially if they weren't involved.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So on August 18th, law enforcement returned to the crime scene to take photos of the scene from the street. They were also taking aerial photos from a helicopter. And I wonder if they're just trying to like corroborate a story that they were told or something like that. Maybe someone's angle of what they saw or if they could have even seen it.
Yeah,
I'm sure we'll know more as everything progresses.
And from what we've seen when we were researching, it does appear that Aviles and Cabrera left the scene. So I'm wondering if they were also looking at the route that they took out or that kind of thing. Or, hey, like, should we look for more evidence in these places, given that like point A is here and point B is here? And we know that they had to get over there, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
And also, it'll make more sense, too, when we talk about just how close Cabrera's work was to the crime scene.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So Cabrera and Aviles were arrested in connection with Gabriela's murder on the 19th. They were both charged with first-degree murder and charges related to using a knife in commission of the murder. It's wild to me with so many people seeing this happen that it took that long to arrest them.
I agree. And from our understanding, the Corolla we talked about was Cabrera's. So you would just think that like it was a little clearer, like they were building the case, but it's just interesting that they waited so long to arrest her.
Yeah.
And some sources vary on how often Cabrera and Aviles were called in for questioning. I've seen it where it was once, but I've also seen where it was at least twice. And I just think that's interesting.
And I will say, too, a lot of the articles, like some are in English, but a lot of them we had to translate. Mm-hmm. So sometimes some things get kind of lost in the translation.
Yeah. And we ended up reading articles that were from like the same instance, but from various sources, just to make sure when we were looking at a translation, we were seeing a common version of it. Like it wasn't like one word was switched, because in some versions, they talk about the weapon charge. And they mention that, and some sources, they will translate it to a gun, because it's like first degree murder with a deadly weapon, and they're like, deadly weapon gun?
Yeah.
And that's just how the translation works. And I was like, no, it was a knife. But
Right. Now, one thing I want to mention, too, is Aviles will be tried as an adult.
Makes sense. She is 17, which is pretty close, right? Like, we're thinking 17, 18, and for the charge.
Yeah.
Cabrera's court-appointed attorney, Jesus Ramos Bucar, told the court that Cabrera had been working and had, quote, minimal participation in Gabriela's murder. I don't like the phrasing of that. That makes me feel angry. So, after one of the initial hearings, Bucar told reporters that he was still searching for evidence to distance Cabrera from the murder. And he went on to say that he had requested DNA results from the prosecution's office, as well as videos and photos. And the prosecutor's office was like, we don't have any exculpatory evidence. Like, we don't have anything that you need. And just as a reminder, exculpatory evidence is evidence that could suggest a defendant's innocence. So if the prosecution has evidence that would suggest that somebody else committed a murder, they have to give it to the defense.
Right.
So Picard also believes that DNA testing would promote the innocence of Cabrera. There was DNA testing done on the knife and the cloth, we believe. And we'll talk more about some other DNA testing in just a second. But apparently the minimal participation that Picard meant when he was talking about Cabrera was that she wasn't there for the whole altercation, but only part of it.
she worked just steps away from where Gabriella was murdered. So very, very close.
And Avila's attorneys are Rocio Revels Ponce and Athelin Jimenez Emanuele. The reason why they have different attorneys, not too surprising here, is because there could be a conflict of interest between the two. They both might point the finger at each other. It's not always assumed that they're going to necessarily be on the same side just because they're both defendants.
Mm-hmm.
At Avilas and Cabrera's arrest hearing, the judge found cause for their arrest and then set bail for $1 million each.
Good.
Yes. But then, on the September 17th, Judge Paolo Morales ruled that Avilas was not fit to stand trial. And this was based on the testimony of the state's expert, Jose Malave, who evaluated Avilas. Malave said that she was currently not prosecutable because she was unable to assist with her defense. And their thinking is, like, I think that she just, like, wasn't well in the head.
Yeah. I mean, that's interesting. I hate it, but, like, it happens.
Yes. Given that it is very likely that Avilas did commit this murder, it's frustrating. And yet, if a criminal justice system is going to hold a 17-year-old in prison possibly for the rest of their life, I do want to make sure that they are able to defend themselves appropriately. So Judge Morales ordered that Avilas will be moved to a forensic psychiatric hospital. And the goal is that she will eventually be fit to be tried. So they're not saying that she'll never be tried. They're saying not yet, hopefully. So that is a little bit optimistic.
Yeah, it's similar to what we just saw with, like, Lori Vallow too, right?
Mm-hmm. And then on September 18th, the Institute of Forensic Sciences, which is ICF, began testing newly submitted DNA evidence. From what we've seen, this is not the original evidence that they have, which we presume is from the knife and the bloody clothing, because that's the evidence that we're aware. But there could also be other evidence at play that we just don't know about. Additionally, the Justice Secretary, Lord Gomez Torres, said that there are charges against additional people that are imminent. And the other suspects are 2 20-year-olds and there's 4 minors. So again, this could be why they were covering their face. That's just very interesting and concerning.
It is.
And we're going to talk about in just a moment why someone associated with this crime might not want people to know about it. You know, like, in addition to just generally not want to be bothered if you were not actually involved, I could see why you were covering your face coming to and from if you were being questioned.
For sure. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is insane, but there was also another stabbing that happened on September 2nd. So just a couple weeks ago, Marciela Cabrera Rivera, who is Cabrera's sister and Avila's aunt, was also stabbed.
Mm-hmm.
At approximately 8:22 p.m., Mariela went to the back of her home to turn on a light, and she encountered an unidentified man. He attacked her, and then she sustained multiple stab wounds. She had been receiving threats because her sister and her niece's involvement with Gabriella's murder.
Yeah.
I get being angry, but again, like, hurting someone else, especially if they're not even involved, from what I understand, is nonsense to me.
Exactly. My wonder here would be whether the person who did that wanted Cabrera or Avilas to hurt in the same way they did.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense on paper, you know, but, like, it's still fucked.
Yes, it is.
Luckily, she's in stable condition. Again, we don't see that she was present or anything. That could come up later. We're not sure. But as of right now, from what we know, she wasn't present at Gabriella's stabbing. So this investigation is still ongoing, and the cases are still in the early stages. So there's not too much information that's been shared quite yet.
Mm-hmm.
As we continue to hear more about the investigation, the ongoing cases, and any possible future arrests, we'll share them on our social media and then, of course, in our True Crime Digest.
Yes.
Like we said, there have been some updates since we last recorded, so I wanted to pop in and let you know what we found out. As of this week, Avilas was scheduled to undergo a second psychological evaluation. After this, the judge will have a follow-up hearing to assess whether or not she's fit to stand trial. Additionally, there is a hearing scheduled for Cabrera this week as well. There's also been a little more information released as to what may have happened from witnesses these last couple days, but they're still working on piecing everything together. The latest update that we've seen is that the suspects had intended to confront another young woman, but then Gabriella's sister intervened and was attacked. And then when Gabriella saw her sister being attacked, she came to her defense and then was also attacked. And then that's when she was stabbed. Sources have told a local publication that the weapon that was used was either a woman's comb or a brush, where there was a blade hidden inside the handle. Just terrifying. They're also still working on more possible arrests to others that may have been involved, but as of right now, there hasn't been additional arrests. Again, all of these articles are being translated from Spanish to English, so sometimes there's some information that just gets a little muddled. However, this is what we know as of right now, but in the future, if there are any additional updates, we will update you in our True Crime Digest. And again, thank you, Sam, for suggesting this case. We really do want to make sure that Gabrielle's family gets justice. We really appreciate it. And if anybody ever has a case they want us to cover, feel free to share it with us. And whether it's a very new case or something old, we're always interested.
Yeah. Yeah. And with that, have a great weekend.
Thanks for creeping with us.
Thanks for listening. And as always, a special thank you to our patrons who support us via Patreon. Please see the link in our show notes to learn more about how you, yes you, can begin to haunt the dump, guard vortexes, or even become a scorching Sasquatch.
Ooh.
Also in our show notes, you can find the link to our website, more information on our sources, our social media handles, and our merch store.
We'd love for you to keep creeping with us. So if you like this episode, please subscribe, rate, review, and share the show with your fellow creeps and or ghosts.
I beg of you.